All right. Are you guys excited for the word this morning? All right. Just grab your Bible and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. Hallelujah. Even though Kyla's not here this morning, he's in the back. And we still have our little loud woohoo. Yeah. Matthew, chapter 11, verse 12. Before we start, I'm going to check the score. John, how are we doing? Not good. Oh, no. Big team, big game today. Our team is in the quarterfinals in England. You know, our team in England is Manchester United, so we're in the quarterfinals, and apparently now we're losing. And ORU plays, Oral Roberts University plays this afternoon, and we won the first, we knocked out the seed number 2 in March Madness, so now we're playing. Some team. Turn myself off. Okay, I'm back on. Awesome. Today's week number 3 of our series, Oasis. Beautiful Oasis. In the Old Testament, when the children of Israel left Egypt, God led them on their way to the wilderness. God led them to an oasis. This oasis had the name of Elim. E-L-I-M. The word Elim simply means an oasis in the desert. An oasis in the desert. So in our series, what we've been doing for the past 3 weeks is to use that word Elim as a vehicle to drive us through that series. All right? So in week number 1, E stood for enlarge. Enlarge. And in week number 2, it was launch. And today in week number 3, it's invade. Invade. Now, when you think of an oasis, you might not associate an oasis with that word, invade, until you read Matthew 11, 12. Because the word of invade kind of speaks of advancing forward forcefully, with tenacity. Today we will talk about the forceful and tenacious nature of an oasis. Because sometimes when we think about the word oasis, we think of something very passive. It is, but it is also something very forceful in nature, tenacious in nature. Because if you look at a picture of an oasis, it's life in the middle of a desert. It has to be forceful enough to survive the forces of nature against that oasis. So it's forceful, it's tenacious. And I want you to picture this as we read Matthew 11, verse 12. It says, "And from the time John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, invading, pushing forward. And the violent, the fervent, the eager people are attacking it or taking it by force." The picture you get here is very graphic. It's graphic in nature. It's very strong. It's in your face. To fully understand this scripture, we have to look at the context. Because context is king in everything that when we read scripture. Without context, we don't fully get what the word is intending for the body to actually receive. So the context we get in the beginning of chapter 11. Chapter 11, you find Jesus and two disciples of John the Baptist. It was in the early ministry of Jesus. So John the Baptist is in prison at the time, and he sends two of his disciples with a message for Jesus. And the message said, "Are you the coming one, or should we be expecting another one?" So what the message from John the Baptist was, go and check with Jesus. Is he truly the Messiah, or should we be waiting on someone else? And this is how Jesus responded. This is where we get the context of what we read in verse 12. Jesus responded to the two disciples of John the Baptist, and he said, "Go tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." Here's what Jesus is saying. The oasis of eternal life is here, and it is unstoppable. The oasis of life has arrived. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here and now, and it is unstoppable. There is nothing that the enemy can do from that point on to stop the message of the gospel, of what you're hearing now, the good news, because the blind are seeing, the lame are actually walking, the dead are being raised up, and the people who need the good news, they are getting the good news being preached to them. So go tell John the Baptist, this is what's happening. So when you read now verse 12, you now get the context. The context is this. John is saying, well, Jesus is saying, from the days of John the Baptist until now, there has been an extraordinary rush of people pressing in from all sides, eager for a blessing. Just picture this a minute. There's a tremendous amount of people, a rush of people that are pressing in from all sides because they're eager to receive a blessing. They're eager. They're hungry for a breakthrough. They don't want to leave until they receive their breakthrough. And then the phrase, "the violent take it by force," it's a figurative way of speaking. It's talking about the eagerness of the people to enter in. They don't want to be spectators from the outside looking in what's happening. They want to come in. They are pressing in from all sides, and they are not leaving until they have an encounter with Jesus. That is the eagerness. It's saying the violent take it by force. In fact, he's saying the intensity is so great, it was as if they are beating down the doors of heaven just to enter in. Kind of like this morning, you guys this morning when you came in. Lindsay had a hard time keeping you guys out. Doing a head count was impossible, because you guys were so eager to come in, to enter in. And this is what is being described here. I don't know if you've ever experienced a rush hour in the London Underground, the subway, the underground. The rush hour is quite a rush. It's hard to describe. If you're waiting on the platform, you're waiting for a train to get on, you don't have to do much. Seriously, you don't have to do much. All you have to do is just stand still in the middle of the crowd, and the crowd will carry you in. me going to college, I mean, rush hour, this is like the peak time when you're traveling north and south of London. And all you have to do, I mean, I'm a little bitty guy. All I have to do is just go in and stand in the crowd. I don't have to do anything else. I don't want to push my way through to be in the front. All I have to do is just find a spot and stand right here. The crowd will carry me forward. The crowd will set the pace on when and how I get in. I don't even have to, what they call, mind the gap. I don't even have to mind the gap. They lift me up and they place me where I need to go. So the word here is describing the intensity, the eagerness of the people wanting to get in. All you have to do is be in position, ready to walk in. Matthew 11, 12 gives us a graphic picture of a kingdom, the kingdom of God, as an oasis where the hunger of the people carries them in. People are so hungry to get in that they don't leave until they see Jesus, until they have an encounter with Jesus, a face-to-face encounter. Can you imagine? Can you imagine for once that if us here in the United States of America or all around the world, that we had that level of hunger that they had back then? That we've made up our minds to come to church this morning and nothing can get in the way of us coming to church. Not even a bad hair day. Not even a bad outfit. Nothing can stand in the way of you going to church. Not even sickness. You've made up your mind. You're like, you know, I must come and hear the word of God. These were the people that were hurting. These are the lepers that were out there. These were the blind people. These were the lame. They made up their mind. There was such an eagerness to come inside that they've left their problems behind and said, you know what? We're going in to actually get delivered, to be set free, so that we can enjoy eternal life that only this oasis can provide. Once you found this oasis, you know, in the middle of a desert, there's a place, an oasis. You will push your way through. You will do anything in your power to make sure that you go in this place where there is life, where there is hope, where there's provision for what you need in your greatest time of need. So this is what Matthew 11 is describing. It's describing a hunger for God. In Luke chapter 5, we find another amazing story where some man literally did this. They tore through a roof just to get to Jesus. You guys know this story? About this man that was so hungry to see Jesus. They were so hungry for a breakthrough that they tore through a roof just to get to Jesus. Can you imagine the eagerness, the fervency of these people, the intensity of their passion for Christ? A crowd could not get in their way. They've made up their minds that they will have a face-to-face encounter with Jesus. Luke 5, 18 and 19 says this. Some man carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. He's on his bed. I mean, he's laying down in his bed. He's paralyzed. They carried him to meet Jesus. They tried to take him inside to Jesus, but they couldn't. They couldn't reach him because of the crowd. The crowd stood in the way of the breakthrough. They could not get in. So they went up to the roof, took off some tiles, And they lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd, right in front of Jesus. Can you imagine the dirty looks that they got as they tried to cut in? They're carrying this dude on a mat. 3-4 of them, they're carrying this dude, getting through, coming through. And the dirty looks that they got, back of the line. This is one thing that you learn in England, is that when you're in a crowd, you better respect the queue. The queue is what they call it. The queue. You got to queue up. You got to respect the queue. You got a position in the crowd that you got to stay in that position. Don't try to cut through. These guys there, they were trying to cut through. They're trying to get to Jesus. But they had to find another way. Just imagine for a minute. If we were here this morning and some people could not get in and somebody needed to hear the word and they tore off through this roof right here and drop off some guy right there in the middle. Can you imagine? But this is exactly what was happening. They tore through the roof and dropped this guy down until he was right in front of Jesus. They were so determined to have an encounter with Jesus that they would do anything to get to him. They would not allow the crowd to get in the way. They could have come up with an excuse. Buddy, you know what? We tried, we carried you all the way from Bethlehem. I don't know where they come from. We carried you all the way. We carried you for hours just to get there. But guess what? There was a crowd. Others came before you. You'll have better luck next time. They made the journey. They came here. They said, we are not leaving this place until I hear a word from God. I'm looking at you this morning. You are that kind of oasis that I've come in. You're not about to leave this place until you hear the word that you came here for. Until you get your breakthrough this morning. Like, I'm not going to leave this place until I get what I came here for. I believe you come to the right place to actually hear a word from God. A word that will change your life forever. A word that will energize you. A word that will equip you to fight the good fight of faith. A word that will equip you for something that maybe you don't even know now. But as the week proceeds, for next week, as you go about your week, you'll find there's a word that you got today that will equip you for something that you could not even see right now. That is the power of the living word of God. It's powerful, it's alive, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide between bone and marrow, thoughts and intents of the heart. So if you want to be equipped for the word of God, you've come to the right place. So these men, they've come to the right place. They wanted to see their friend heal. They wanted to see their friend heal. They were desperate for a touch from God. Can you imagine if the church would rise up to that same level of desperation for God? Can you imagine for a moment if every one of us, if I say the church, I mean you and me. We are the church. We are the church. If we all would display that same intensity of hunger and passion for God. Desperation for Him. A desperation for God is the key for breakthrough. A desperation for God is the key for revival. We can't preach and want revival until we are desperate for God. Until we have that level of intense desperation for Him. For Him. Nothing else but Him. When you are so desperate for God, absolutely nothing can get in the way. Nothing can get in the way. You'll tear through a roof just to get to church. I was going to say you speed down the road, but don't do that. Just to get to church. You run a light just to get to church. I mean, there's so many things that we can come up with. But the desperation drives you to come to church, where you've made up your mind last night that going to church. Kids, get ready. We're going to church. Line up your clothes. Pick out your clothes. Pick out your shoes. We're going to church. It's a decision that you make the night before, usually. You've made up your mind. Nothing can get in the way. Because the longer you toy with that decision, the more opportunity you have to say no. The pillow is so amazing. In the morning, just want to lay down a little bit longer. Yes, Lord Jesus, I'm going to meet you right here. I'm going to have a little pillow talk with you right here, Jesus. It's a little bit different when you just get up and you go. This man who was actually lame could not say this. He wanted to walk. Guys, you carry me. I don't care what it takes. You carry me. I'm going to meet Jesus today. I need Jesus. That is the level of hunger and determination and eagerness that we need to have as a body of believers. If I were to ask any pastors, what is the biggest obstacle to a revival? You know what they would say? The biggest obstacle is not enough desperation for God. Not enough desperation for God. We're not there yet, even as a nation. We're not that desperate for God. We're not that desperate for God. Because we're distracted by many other things. We haven't reached that level of desperation yet. But it's coming. It's coming. Whether we like it or not, it's coming. Because Jesus is coming back. He's going to drive that level of desperation for him. We might as well start now. Why wait? Why wait until the days gets darker and darker for us to be desperate for him? Why wait until you absolutely need a breakthrough from God to be desperate for him? Let's be desperate for him now. When things are still good, let's be desperate for him now. Not enough desperation is the biggest obstacle for revival. The question is why? Why are we not desperate for God? I mean, we got to ask ourselves this question. Why are we not desperate? What is standing in the way of that, of us being desperate for him? Well, let's answer that, right? This is the right place to talk about the truth. It's the church. Let's talk about the truth. I apologize in advance if I do step on a few toes this morning. I promise you're going to go home with your toes. They might get a little bit bruised, but they'll be there. They'll be there. We can pray after service for healing for toes. But you'll have your toes when you go home. The biggest obstacle is this. The enemy has given Christians a real emphasis on the word Christians. Every possible reason to make church not an essential part of life. The enemy has made it possible for every Christian, not every Christian, but you know what I mean, for Christians not to make church an essential part of life. That's the route where there is no desperation for God, because we've made God a bonus part of the day. a bonus part of the week. If everything goes well, maybe we'll have a little bit of God. God is not number one. God is not driving the whole thing. He's getting to drive for the 5 minutes you let him do. God wants to be driving your life, taking charge of everything, leading this church. We are only the hands and feet. He's driving it. The more we step aside and give him more and more part of the church and our lives, he takes control and he takes charge and he leads and he guides. He shows you grace and empowerment to do whatever he's asked you to do. But the moment you take the wheel and you want to start driving, you've left God out. There can only be one driver. It's either you or God. God is not going to force his way in. He wants you to surrender so that he can drive. When church and God is no longer an essential part of life, soon, God is no longer number one. That's where it all starts. That's where it all starts. The number one reason why Christians do not go to church, like I said, I might be stepping on some toes this morning, is offenses. So right off the bat, don't get offended. Don't get offended. I used to be one of them. I used to be one that I'm just describing right now. It used to be me. It used to be me. Somewhere along the line, we got offended. Somewhere along the line, if you really are genuine here and you trace your way all the way back and you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, you'll find out that somewhere along the line, there was an offense. I came in this morning and the greeter did not greet me properly. I mean, that can happen. No one came to say hi to me. And I'm there, you know what? I just don't have very many friends. And nobody was very friendly. I mean, we can go on and on. The song choices were very poor this morning. The sound quality was terrible. The online streaming, for those who are watching us online, was glitchy. I mean, there's many things that we can think of. The pastor's long-winded. He dresses funny. He talks with a funny accent. I don't know where he comes from. Nobody can understand him. You can go on and on and on and on. If you're looking for an offense, you will find it. If you're looking for an opportunity to get offended, guess what? You'll find it. You'll find it. And soon enough, you're going to develop this thing called a critical spirit. A critical spirit in the name of like, well, you know, I just want to point out the things that you need to work on, because, you know, that's really not the right thing. And by saying this, you're developing that critical spirit. Believe me, I get a lot of those critical spirits. Sometimes it comes in the form of an email. Sometimes it comes in the form of a text. Sometimes it comes in the form of a card that I put in the back there. So many. The very first time I wore a suit, somebody made a comment about my suit. It became a source of distraction for that person. So I'm thinking, was it the tie? Was it the jacket? Was it the pants? Was it my shoes? I mean, you know, Lord, explain to me. I need to know. I don't want to be a distraction to others and rob them of the word that God wants to deposit in their life. But that was something that was brought up. There's many, many times that if you're looking for something to be critical about, you'll find it. You'll find it. You'll find it. Here's the bottom line is, opportunities are every all around us to get offended. And 2020 gave us plenty of opportunities. I don't want to go down the list, but there's so many opportunities that we can think of that 2020 presented to us, the body of Christ. We're talking about Christians here. Never mind those that don't know Christ. We're talking about believers. The amount of separation that we've encountered in terms of, anyway. We don't have time to go through all of this. But the number two reason why people don't go to church is this. Busyness of life. Busyness of life. Mind you, it could be all good things. Going to see your kids' soccer game, for example, is a good thing. Going on family vacation, fixing stuff around the house, all good things. All good things. But here's the bottom line. Even good things can replace God. That's number one. Even good things can replace God as number one in your life. So the question is, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to talk about hunger? How are we going to talk about desperation for God? How are we going to talk about revival if we don't start right here? How are we wanting the whole nation to turn toward God? Why? What's happening? We want the whole nation, you know. We quote scriptures. We say, you know what? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. How about me? What if I humble myself and pray and call on his name? For me. For my family. For my children. Let me start at home before I can look at the nation, before I call on the world to turn to God, before I call on the whole world to come to a place of revival. Let me develop that heart, that hunger for God. Let me not have this critical spirit. Let me bring in a spirit of joy, of peace. Let me bring that in as an oasis, so that I can be an oasis for someone else. Because what's the point of having or being an oasis if you can't refresh someone else? If you can't speak a word of encouragement and hope to someone else, what's the point of having an oasis in the desert that cannot give life to everybody around them? That is the point of being an oasis. When God is not number one, the fervency, the hunger, the expectation disappears. Disappears. And soon, the oasis runs dry. Runs dry. The oasis is depleted. We come to church to be replenished, to be filled up, to be lifted up, to be encouraged, to be challenged sometimes. Maybe today might be a challenging word for many. But what's the point of having church where we can't really be open to talk about things sometimes that maybe in the church we're like, we just want to pump you up a little bit. But sometimes there's a word that needs to come out that needs to bring a level of challenge so that we can recognize the need for God, the desperation for Him. Because breakthrough comes out of desperation for God. That you say, you know what, I'm not going to leave this place until I get my breakthrough. Many years ago, Isaiah was in the hospital. Medical situation was going on and all this kind of complication. But you know what I said? I was like, you know what? I am not going to leave this place until I get a breakthrough. I was desperate as a father. I was desperate for a touch from God for my son. Desperation brings breakthrough. So this morning I'm going to challenge you. And I'm saying this with an amazing smile. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing to be challenged. If we go to the gym and we work out and we're not challenged properly, how else are we going to grow, right? If there's no resistance to our progress, which, by the way, last week I didn't go to the gym. It was spring break. What am I thinking?
I'll be there tomorrow.
So I'm going to challenge you this morning. I'm going to challenge you to become an oasis. I'm going to challenge you to become an oasis, because an oasis requires passion. An oasis requires fire. I'm going to challenge you to come to church. I'm going to challenge you to make church a priority in your life. I'm going to challenge you to not just come by yourself. I'm going to challenge you to invite somebody in. Because an oasis is always looking for an opportunity, a need to meet. It's looking for somebody to bless. Why not invite somebody to church? Why not tell somebody about Jesus? Why not be an oasis? I promise you, your life will change. The moment you start looking for an opportunity to speak a word to someone, your life will change. That's why church is important. You say, why? What's the big deal? I can just watch church online. I can just attend 5 different churches every Sunday. What's the point? You know? Let me give you 5 good reasons. Okay, number one, we got to press pretty fast. Number one is, come to church to hear and apply the word of God. Come to hear and apply the word of God. It says in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how faith is developed. That's how faith is growing in your life. It's a continual process of hearing and hearing the word of God. The word of God that you hear, when you apply it to your life, it helps you to lead a good life. It helps you when you apply the word to fight the good fight of faith. Without the word, you cannot fight the good fight of faith. You'll be fighting on your own. You'll be trying to do things on your own, but fight the good fight of faith, because the word that you hear equips you to do it. Number two, come to church to participate. Emphasis on participation. See, I said that in a very different tone here. Participation in corporate worship. Sing if you don't have a good voice. Jesse will correct us afterwards, but sing. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. This is what the word says. And come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Shout. The church is a noisy place. The church carries a lot of bass. And that's important. It's important to me. If there's no bass, there's no church. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Bass is important. Bass is important. If you don't feel it right here, it's not loud enough. You know what I mean? You got to feel it right here. So come, make a joyful noise to the rock of your salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. We're talking about loud, expressive things. We're talking about being out there, extrovertedly out there. Raise your hands. Act like a fool. Worshiping God is all about this. It's wonderful to do it privately. Please do it privately. But you take it to a different level when you join in this corporate attitude, this corporate atmosphere of worship. That's the beauty of corporate worship. Number three, come to church because iron sharpens iron. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. That's a source of encouragement, strength, and accountability. That's important. When you don't show up for church, if you're properly accountable, somebody should notice. Right? Wouldn't you like this? If you don't show up to church, somebody said, where is so-and-so? I'm going to try this next week. I'm not going to come to church. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I'll be here next week. But try this. If you don't show up for church, you better get a call from someone. If you don't, there's a problem. Then you start looking here. Don't look at anybody else, because you're going to look around and say, why did the pastor not call me? You know what I'm saying? Why didn't the pastor not call me? I wasn't at church. There's quite a few of you here this morning. And there are many more that did not come this morning. It's hard for the pastor to actually recognize everybody who's not here. Okay? So think about yourself. Say, you know what? Let me connect with someone. Connecting in a church is important. If you're not connected, you can't grow. You cannot be accountable. You'll find out if you're not connected that skipping church will be the way out. It's easy. When you're not connected, you don't show up and nobody cares. But when you're connected, you're accountable. You're accountable to friends. But when iron sharpens iron, something happens. A spark can happen, right? When you take two pieces of metal and you start rubbing into one, you know, upon each other right there, a spark can happen. Don't get offended at the very first spark. That's where we make a lot of mistake within the church. At the very first spark, I'm out of here. Learn to forgive. Don't walk away offended. Learn to forgive and move on. The church is not a place where we sing kumbaya. Okay? Church is not that place. A church is a place of growth and accountability. Growth and accountability. When you live in a community, when you live in a community of other Christians, guess what? You'll get bumped. You will get bumped. Getting bumped is part of the process. Remember, you are an oasis, right? You are an oasis. An oasis is meant to be filled up. Okay? You fill it up. You're supposed to be filled up all the way. All the way. All the time. That's life, right? Some of you I know are getting scared right now. You're kind of like, what is he going to do with that there? Well, yeah. So, when you are an oasis, okay, go right. No, I'll go right here. So, when you are an oasis, you're supposed to get bumped because you're carrying a full glass. Right, Naomi? You're carrying a full glass. You're supposed to go, and sometime you might go and you bump against somebody right here, and guess what? A few things would spill. I mean, you know, that can happen again. It's maybe the same person, but that's okay. To bump, it's part of the process because you're living in a community of other believers. But guess what? There's a lot more there, right? But since you are an oasis and you're connected to the source, guess what? You can be filled up again. And then you can go and maybe, you just never know. And you bump against somebody else and then, oh my gosh, what just happened? But since you're connected to the source, even if you spill, it's not a big deal. You're not going to get offended because you spill some. Your reaction matters to when you spill. How are you going to react when you get bumped? Not you bumping into somebody. What about if somebody bumps into you? Are you going to get upset? What's going to come out of that oasis? Is it going to be dirty looks? Or is it going to be a word of encouragement? Oh, bless you. Not a big deal. Just shoes. Don't be stepping on my shoes. Seriously. I'm just kidding. Seriously. Learn to forgive. Learn to forgive and move on. That's basically it. Since you are connected to the source, guess what? You're going to get filled up again with new life. New life. New wine. Right? When you come together, that's what you're expecting. You're expecting to be filled up with new life. New wine. When we come together. That's what an oasis is describing in this sound, in this song. It's a fountain of life. It's meant to run down, getting people wet. That is part of being an oasis. Number four, come to church to exercise your gifts. Romans 12:6 says, in His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Well, the gifts that you have in you, that God has placed in you, listen to this. That's going to shock many of you there. Listen. We need your gifts. We need you. You say, well, there's so many other people helping. There's so many. I mean, they covered. It seems like they covered. But believe me, the greater you are, the more need you have. Ask Jesse. Ask Caden. The more we grow as a body of believers, the more need you have. The more we need you. As a person, as a part of the member of this body of believers, we need you. We need the gifts that you carry. Statistics says this, 20% of the people do 80% of the work in a church. Does that sound right? Does that sound fair? For only 20%. To carry the load. I'm not going to step on anybody's toes right now. Promise you, you're going to leave this place with all 10. If you have all 10. Hell. We need you. Join a serve team. Join a serve team. Where's my Bible? You would have somewhere in the back. This Ocean Serve Team. There's several areas where you can serve. Ocean Kids, First Impressions, Worship Team, Media, Anchor Youth, Outreach and Events, Small Project, Hospitality. All of these are areas that, oh, I don't know where to. I'm telling you right now where you can serve. Attend Grow Track tomorrow. If you're unsure about where to serve, attend Grow Track tomorrow. We will help you with this. We will help you to find a place where you can grow and get connected with the body. And finally, is this. Come to church because God says so. Come to church because God says so. Hebrews 10:25 says this. Let us not neglect our meeting together. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. But encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. Would you say and agree with me, maybe, that the day of His return is nearer? than it was back then. It is nearer. I don't know when, but it is nearer. So it says, do not neglect our meeting together. Do not neglect that. God wants you to regularly meet, attend church, because it's good for you. It's good for you. It's good for me to be here this day, today, with you guys. It's good for me. It's good for me to be part of this body. Just like you are part of this body. It's good for me. It's good for me. It's good for my children. That daddy is part of this body. That daddy makes church a priority in the Panthens household. Our children, I believe they learn more by watching us live out our faith than us preaching to them. Would you agree with that, parents? They watch and observe and learn more by daddy being a man of God, a man of integrity on a day-to-day basis, rather than me opening my Bible and preaching to them. That is important too. But if that's all they get, it's not enough. They need to see you live out this faith. And not just hear about it when things are going well, but they need to watch you live out this faith every day of your life. And when you do make mistakes, which, as hopefully all of you here this morning, I've made mistakes in the past as an adult, as a parent. Use those mistakes to be able to reach those kids. It's okay for daddy to go say, I'm sorry. I did not mean to say what I said. What I said was not right. What I did was not right. Would you please forgive me? It's not a bad thing for a father to actually approach a child and say, would you please forgive me? When you lead by example, you teach them how you are asking for forgiveness. You are teaching them how to ask for forgiveness when they mess up. That's living your life, living your faith by displaying what it means to be a father, leading by example. Do you guys remember my London Underground story? As we wrap up, I'm bringing this back up again. I remember the days when I did this every day. When I was preparing this message, this picture came back to my mind. The determination of the crowd. The determination of the crowd. The hunger or the determination to get back home. Push the crowd forward. It was very organized, believe it or not. To somebody new, it might be like, oh my goodness, this is chaos. But it was very organized. Everybody occupied one spot. And remain in that spot. And when we move forward together. So it was as if when the train came and stopped, there was an invasion. We invaded that train. But I didn't do it by myself. I could not do it by myself because that would mean that I would have to cut through the crowd to get in. I didn't have to do this. All I had to do was occupy that place and standing there. The hunger of the crowd to get in drew me in. That's the beauty of us as believers getting together. The hunger of one person would inspire you to be hungry for God. Would you please stand? When you surround yourself with others who are passionate for Christ, for the kingdom of God, for this oasis, when you surround yourself with others who are passionate for this, it will drive you forward to be as passionate as that person. So I encourage you, before we go, to get plugged in, to get connected, so important. If you call this place, Ocean United, your church, your home church, you got to get connected. In front of you, right in the pocket in front of you, you'll see a card. It's actually called a connect card. If you've never filled one out before, would you please take 2 seconds on your way out? You can fill it out and put it in the box, or give it to me, or give it to anybody that is standing there. We'll have leaders in the back there afterwards that can actually collect those, and just hand that over to them. All those serve cards, somebody will help you to fill one of those out. I don't want you to leave this place just hearing a good message. I want you to leave this place saying, you know what, I made a friend today. I made a friend today. I did not know the person to the right or to the left of me, but I'm leaving this place shaking somebody's hand, introducing myself. For those who don't know me, seeing me for the very first time, my name is Shannon Panthen. I'm the pastor of this church. I'm married to my wife Dawn, who came earlier today and gave us the... She does so much of a better job to tell people about, you know, announcements and stuff like that. I'm not very good at doing that. But that was my wife. I've got 5 children. My oldest is Isaiah. Then I've got Jeremiah. I've got Soraya. I've got Elijah. And I've got Micah. I've got 5 children. Plus one. There's a dude by the name of Kyla Morales. He's my adopted son. So I've got a big family. So for those who don't know me, now you do. This is me. I'm just a member of this body of Christ called Oceans United. I'm just like you. I'm just as hungry for God as you are. I've come here this morning to be refreshed by the oasis, just like you did. And I've made up my mind that I'm not going to leave this place the same. When I preach a message, 90% of what I'm preaching is to me. It's for me, because I need it just as much as you need it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word that we receive this morning. Lord, let this word change us, change our life, change the way that we even view the church. Any negative thoughts, any negative things that we've received over the years concerning church, Lord, we cast those out in the name of Jesus. Lord, we want to start fresh with new hope, a new word that you've given to us, a new perception of what a body of believer is meant to be. Help us to move forward, to invade and occupy whatever the enemy has stolen from us. I speak health over this body right now in the name of Jesus. I speak breakthrough. I speak blessing in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Amen.